Mr. Jabisky here tonight? No? Is he? He just ran out. All right. I know he was teaching Daniel tonight, or this morning. Is that correct? He teaches Daniel? Or he did today? Mr. Bauman's out of town. I guarantee this message will be nothing like what you heard. So there, how's that? Just in case you feel like you're getting saturated with Daniel. All right, Daniel chapter 7. Good to have the Martinez family with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Good. Martinez family is here. All right. We're going to take that off because that's not going to work. All right. This morning, sound guys, it was ringing just a little bit. So if you could turn me down just a touch and so I can yell and not hurt people's ears. All right. Daniel chapter 13. No. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Say, Pastor Russo, how you doing? Great. Great. Verse 13, it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. And it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and Lord, we need your help. Lord, we ask it again that you meet with us and that your presence be felt here, Lord, and that you'd speak through our hearts. God, that you would use the message tonight, that it would encourage, be a help, and be what, or just what everybody needs. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to say just what a blessing it is to be able to serve the Lord here and serve the Lord with you and be part of Walker Bible Baptist Church. There's a lot of churches in town and a lot of places you could go, and quite honestly, a lot of good churches. I'm thankful that you felt led to be here. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. What a tremendous description here. Shows up three times in your Bible, all of which in the book of Daniel. All of which in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. There he sat upon his throne, right? Whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. We read verse 13. Now look over at verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came unto the saints that the saints possessed the kingdom. Ancient of Days is referenced three times. And literally speaking, it says what it really literally means, because if you think about the Ancient of Days, how would I define that? You know that you have an understanding of a term if you can put a term into your own words, right? And that's what we teach our young people in school. What is socialism? And you could give a textbook definition. You could give a textbook definition, right, Sam? Or you could put it in your own words, and then it proves to me that you know what you're talking about. What is capitalism? Or what? These are terms. What is Ancient of Days? How would I define that? It's a Obviously a powerful term. It's a term associated with God's judgment, God's throne. Those are the verses that we see connected. We see him seated upon it, his hair white and pure like wool. Throne was like a flame of fire, wheels burning around it. In verse 22, it says that judgment comes from this. In verse 13, it says, came to the Ancient of Days and they brought me near. And then we see these kingdoms established and dominion. So obviously the Ancient of Days brings forth this thought or this idea, this description of God and his authority. But Ancient of Days, clearly defined literally, means before days he was. Before there were days, God was. Before there was establishment of night and day, and this was the first day, and God saw it and it was good, he was already there. This is the Ancient of Days. He precedes time. When I was in Bible Institute, I forgot who, the first time I heard this explained, we have two eternities. We have eternity past and we have eternity future. And the distance between the two is called time. God inhabited before there was time. Psalm chapter 90. Keep your hand in Daniel chapter 7, please. Go to Psalm 90. Quickly, we will get a thought of this Ancient of Days, and it is important. It bears weight upon our message tonight. Psalm 90 and verse 1, "Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or after thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." He says, before there was ever a mountain, before there was an earth, before it was all established, you were God. The Ancient of Days. Look at Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Thus saith the king in verse 6. Isaiah 44, 6. "Thus saith the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God." Who is that? It's the Ancient of Days. And before there ever was a day, God was seated upon his throne. Back to Daniel chapter 7. I was informed by people that bear my last name that this morning I went way over. So this evening, I told you I'll try and make up for that. But I want to get a thought here. As we look in verse 13 again, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days." So again, let's establish what that means. Why is he calling him the Ancient of Days? It's because before there ever was a day, he was. Before there was a mountain, before there was an earth, he is the first and the last God. And there was given him dominion. It's a word we don't use a lot. Dominion. Dominion means supreme authority. Supreme authority. Look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 3. Supreme authority. "How great are his signs," Daniel 4, 3. "And how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." A supreme authority. As we read in verse 14, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages," and this is our important thought here tonight, "should serve him." There's one that sits upon a throne whose establishment is the Ancient of Days, before there was ever a day. That's when He was. He has all power. He has supreme authority, as the Scripture tells us. And He's been given a kingdom. Dominion, it says. That include all people, all nations, languages, and they have one responsibility. They have one job. To build Him a tower? No. To build Him an edifice? No. To serve Him. To serve Him. This evening, I'd like to talk to you for a moment about the importance of serving the Lord. The one that we serve is the King of Kings, who's been given dominion, the Ancient of Days. This morning we were looking in our Sunday school class in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 is different than the first 15 chapters of Romans. Very little doctrine. To what would appear, very little substance. It's a list of names that are difficult to say. From cities that I've never heard of. And I really know nothing about these people. It doesn't, you know, we were looking at, I think we used Urbane. He mentions Urbane. Is Urbane a girl or boy? I don't know. What did Urbane do? I don't know. But somehow he helped Paul. Or she. They. Could have been a group of people, the Urbanians. Who knows? And we read this, and thing after thing, person after person after person, they did this and they did that, and we labored together, and they were my kinsmen, and we did this and we did that together. And here it tells us that we serve Him. And church, if I could encourage us tonight, that we don't just serve Him, but we serve Him together. I'd rather be tired serving the Lord than be tired about listening to about Him. I want to get tired serving Him. And I want to get tired serving Him with you. Not that we wear ourselves out, not that we faint and well-doing, none of that, but that we simply serve the Lord together to the fullest. I don't want to just talk about things. I want to do things. I'm going to pray, and I'm just telling you, I'm praying that the Lord give us direction about maybe take a missions trip. And those are good. That stirs something in our hearts, but that God would give us our responsibility in our community. You know, every single week we have Saturday visitation and things, and I understand people are busy. But what impact are we having upon our communities? What impact are we having to those around us? I want to serve the Lord together. I want to encourage you, and I need encouragement too. I don't want to just talk about the good old days. He's been given a dominion and glory and kingdom. All people, nations, and language should do one thing. They should serve Him. And I'm not sure if... Sometimes we can go really... We go really well through the format of Christianity and make it look all good, but we do not serve Him. I'm praying that the Lord give us an opportunity to do some great things by faith and service to Him. Why? To put us on the map? No, that at the end, when we're standing before Him, He's glorified. That no one else, and I don't care if anybody else knows, just that we served the Lord and we did everything that we possibly could with our number of days, whatever it is, for Him. So you want us full-time in the ministry? Absolutely. All of us, all the time, serving the Lord. Looking for opportunities to help. Looking for opportunities to... I remember when the ladies a few months ago, hey, we ran into this guy. Looks like a real opportunity. We're going to go back. They pretty much camped out in front of his house, brought him cookies, brought him all that stuff. Hey, what a blessing. Hey, pray for this one. And we're going to do something. We had Nadia with us this last week, right? These two dear ladies just took it upon themselves, went and visited. Didn't work out. They were sick this morning, but Lord willing, they'll be coming. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, I got this coworker. Could you go visit him? Could you go see him? Could we serve the Lord together? Next week we have an opportunity. Say it's cider and donuts and it's a harvest party and kids are going to be chocolatey all over. That's not serving Jesus. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's getting kids to come in and everyone doing a part. We do it together. It's not just for Miss Colopy. It's not just for Seth. It's not for the bus driver, the bus kids, or, well, I don't even have kids, so that's not my activity. Well, you're part of Walker Bible Baptist Church. Now, I understand not everyone can do everything. I get it. But you can do something. I'll tell you this. We are all very different. If I brought five people up here and I stood, we could get every range of demographic system in this room. But I'll tell you something we all have in common. We all want to make our life count. And we get one shot at it. And the only thing that's going to count is that we served Him. That's it. It won't matter how much money you have in the bank. It won't matter how many cars you had in the garage. It won't matter about the vacations. It won't matter about any of that. When it's all said and done and we stand before that throne and He's sitting there and there's fire going round about it in circles, it's going to say, did you serve me to the fullest I could? To which I pray we will hear, well done. Well done. Not that you did what they did, but you did what I told you to do. And I'm asking God what that is. That He would show us. God, how do you want us to serve you? Well, I know that it's together. Say, is there really a need? Absolutely. Luke 19:10. To seek and save that which is what? Lost. There's a need for the lost. There's those that are out there that have no idea. We talked about it this morning in our adoption message. There's those that have no father, no heavenly father, and they need someone to come knock on their door. They need a friend at church. Do you know what? I think it was 84 or 86% of people that came to church for the first time. How did they get there? Gospel track, invite by the pastor? No. A friend asked them to come. Well, I can't remember if it was 84 or 86%, so we'll say 85. Are we okay with that? It was probably skewed somewhere. It was probably plus or minus. Anyways. By someone inviting them. How are we going to get guests coming through the door? You know what I love today? I don't want to brag on Brother DeMeo, but there he is. He's pacing back and forth at the double doors at worship service this morning. Why? Because he invited somebody and he was waiting for him to come. Waiting for him. He came to me after. He's like, oh, he didn't come. I was expecting it. Man, praise the Lord. Keep it up, Brother DeMeo. Keep inviting people. Invite people. When was the last time you invited someone? Oh, it was like 95, I think. Come on. That's how most people come. Now, does the Lord bless gospel tracts? Absolutely. Does the Lord bless people going out and being a witness and a bold witness? No matter where, no matter when, do we still do Saturday visitation? Absolutely. But how about you invite those that God has entrusted to you? Wow, it's just too far. You drive that far? the lost. The lost need us to serve Him. The lost doesn't need us to serve them. The lost needs us to serve Him. In our service to Him, we reach the lost. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. You restore something, you bring it back to its original condition. Is that correct? Or even better. I've seen some restored cars, and I think it's been a long time since they ever looked like that. Better parts. Better. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness and considering thyself, lest I also be tempted. Know who else needs you to serve the Lord? The backslidden. Backslidden. Some of our ladies went to go see or listen to Debbie Pride yesterday. Is that correct? Everyone I talked to got such a blessing from it. Why? Because she just shoots straight. She'll tell stories about what a miserable life it is to not serve the Lord. And people want to know, why am I so miserable? Why am I depressed all the time? Why am I discouraged all the time? Why am I? Because you're backslidden. You're away from God. Someone needs to come over and say, hey, come with me back to church. Come with me back. Let's get right. But we write people off. We'll wait. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, when's the last time you reached out to someone that's not where they ought to be? Do it with meekness, but do it right. Do it with wisdom. Not only do the lost, but backslidden need us to serve the Lord. Third, the strong in righteousness need us to serve the Lord. Why? Because it's an encouragement. So many times we make a point of, hey, we got to reach the lost, we got to reach those that are not doing right. Hey, we need to be an encouragement to those that are doing right, to keep in the fight. It's easy to get weary in well-doing. But I would hate for Benjamin trying to do right by the Lord, and I don't recognize that, and I don't help him. So in my service to the Lord, it encourages him. I was looking up a ton of verses this afternoon about the Lord's call to us to come to the sanctuary and to the fortress. He calls to those that are of a sound mind. Those that are doing well, hey, come hide in my fortress. Come hide in my sanctuary. Come protect yourself. Even those that are doing right need help. God uses people to reach people. And to Him, that's service. Daniel chapter 7. Just a couple more thoughts. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We serve him together. We serve him because there's a need. We serve him because he is worth it. We serve him because he's worth it. We've mentioned this multiple times, but we've all been quite successful in wasting our time on things that don't mean anything. So, well, I got to eat. Well, I'm not talking about eating. Well, I got to work on my vehicle. I'm not talking about that. We've wasted hours upon hours on things that really just don't even matter. To neglect the things that actually do. We try and teach our children that we play after our responsibilities are done. And some of them are starting to learn it because they'll come and they'll stand, "Dad? Yeah, buddy, what's up?" "I put all my clothes away. My bed is made. All my home," and they're giving me a list of all the things that they've done. All of the things that I will, if they don't tell me ahead of time, will ask about. Fed the dog. Bathroom's clean. I haven't fought with my brother in 4 minutes. Can I go watch something? Can I go play this or that? It would be one thing if all of our godly responsibilities are done and then we can just sit back and... But is ever a time when God qualifies the idle time? He's well worth it. Every moment that we could spend on Him, He's worth it. We're investing in something that's going to last forever. I was helping Samuel study last night about collectivism. And we're studying the beginning of socialism, right? And how it progressed and just what a mess that was and the initiators of it. And they gave their life to it. Most of the guys that gave their life to it, they ended up in prison or crazy, right? The people that we studied. Wouldn't that be a shame to work 70, 75 years at a thought, the labor unions or whatever it was, and there at the end go, "You know, I don't think this was right. I think capitalism's the way to go." Wouldn't that be a shame? We both agree that capitalism is the way to go. No one is breaking out of capitalistic societies to try and sneak into socialist governments. No one. No one's running out of the United States. "Please let me get into Venezuela. Let me go to Venezuela." Nobody. That was a little political. Sorry. Our service to the Lord at the end, we are serving an everlasting dominion. We're not going to get in and go, "Man, this was such a waste. I wish I would have given my life to somebody else, to something else. I wish I would have done something else with my time, because this whole God on the throne, dominion, everlasting to everlasting, so not worth it." We will not say that. Not in the least. No, we'll rejoice at every moment, every second we spend serving the Lord. Could I encourage you to serve the Lord? You know what people want? People want to be happy. For the Christian, there is no way to be happier, to have real, genuine joy, than to be obedient and serve God in the way that He has designed you to do. Because there is success. There is fulfillment. And there is joy. Because I made my life count. Even if it's just in the middle of nowhere. We had our school rep that represents the whole Northeast come out this past week. He's like, how's it going? I said, great. He goes, really? Well, why wouldn't it? Look what we get to do every single day. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I had to convince him. This is the greatest life in the whole entire world. 67 kids every single day, unless they're sick or sick, come through our doors with the expectation, with the parents' expectation, that we are not only just going to teach them math, but educate them in the things that really matter. Every single day. They send them here by busloads. What an awesome thing. This is the greatest life in the world. To serve the living God. I see way too many Christians bottom lip dragging on the ground. This is the word. Oh, this is bad. What's bad? What is bad about Christianity? Nothing. There's nothing bad about Christianity. It's hard, then you're doing it wrong. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You're trying to do it in your own strength.
Yes, sir. There it is.
It'll actually be worth it. It'll be worth it. A couple years ago, last June, remember my Silverado? Man, that was a blessing of a vehicle. It was given to me. Those are the best kind. Lasted, hey, I don't know, it was one of those, here's the keys, I don't know how long it's going to last. For as long as it lasts, great. And it lasted like 2 or 3 years, which was great. But on its way out, it was hurting. So I traded it in. The trade-in value was the weight of the vehicle, which was significant. I don't know. I was surprised they even got it there. Pulled away in my Ram truck. That truck is cool. It's got a Magnum engine. What size is that? 5.7.
Ooh.
That's nice. But it is 13 years old. And it doesn't do the ooh anymore. It's kind of like eh. And when I step on the gas, sometimes it, and then sometimes it's like, all right, I'll go. I think it needs spark plugs. I was talking to Dave earlier. So how much did you spend on that? Now that I'm looking back, I think I overspent. And I think, was this worth it? If I have to spend this much every single year, is that worth it? Now that's my own decision. Do you understand that we're going to get to heaven one day, having lived our life, no matter how long it is? And every moment that we served him, we will all 100% unanimously agree it was worth it. Serving the Lord is worth it. There's no better thing that you can do with your life. I see it in the eyes of some of our kids at school. I can't wait to get out of here. Man. Those that had graduated and gone and left, I wish you could tell them. I wish you could tell them so that they would hear. I wish those that have been down the road a while, maybe are 40 or 50 years old, we could line up all the young people and just have them listen. But I really listen, not just hear, but listen. That the life lived for the Lord is the best life. As much as I say it, as much as I try and exemplify it, as much as we rehearse it and try and go over that, there's still some that just sit there and go, I just don't know. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth serving the Lord. And if you think there's a better deal out there, you've been lied to. There's no better deal. Matthew chapter 6. You said you were going to be shorter tonight. I have two more verses. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so many times we go to that verse and say, see, you can't serve the world and the Lord. True. Because if you serve the Lord, why are you doing it? What happens when you serve the Lord? You will love Him. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Correct. The way of the world I despise. The ways of God I love. Why do we serve Him? Because we love Him. And He's worth it. And there's a need. And we can do it together. I told you, I make no apologies about it. I am a social drinker. Coffee. Brother Martinez is like, whoa. I enjoy sitting down having a cup of coffee with somebody. The warmness of the coffee, the flavor, the aroma, seated at a table, discussing the things of God, friendships, or whatever it is. I like it, not chicory. I did not like chicory. I love the fellowship. I love serving the Lord together. You know what? You can serve by yourself. You can go out and do it all by yourself. I'm telling you, it's better with somebody else. Lastly, 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. A verse we look at often. Only 1 Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. We serve the Lord together. We serve the Lord because there's a true need. We serve the Lord because He's worth it. We serve Him because we love Him. And lastly, we serve Him wholeheartedly. There's nothing worse than fake anything. Remember some years ago when, I don't know, and it's been a long time since I've seen it. I mean, now being bald is kind of cool. But remember when toupees were in? You remember that? It was like a decade where people would wear fake hair. Rugs. And you're like, that's nothing like the real thing. You're trying, I think. But that's not for real. You know what people want to see? They want to see something genuine. Yes, sir. Real. Sincere. Not perfect. They just want to know that you're fully convinced and that you believe it. And that you've proven it. And that the things you say that you're really going to stand by when push comes to shove. Are you going to compromise the first set of resistance when it's more financially beneficial for you to take the underhanded way? I was talking to a man this week, an accountant. He's like, you would not believe how many people try to get me to cheat on their taxes. That's shameful. Why? Christians. Why? Because they'll get an upper hand. You know what people want to see? They want to see something real. They want to see something genuine. Something that's got a hold of our heart. Wholeheartedness. You know what's neat when we're in the parades? We're walking and we're handing out gospel tracts and you start running into people that you've seen in the community. All of a sudden the bank teller's there. Hey, how are you? So good to see you. And they're like, man, you're for real about this thing. This has got a hold of you. You're marching for it. Man, people march for craziness these days. Are you wholehearted in your service to God? Can we serve Him together? Do you see the need? Please understand that He's worth it. Do you love Him? And can you do it wholeheartedly? Daniel chapter 7. In verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. That's what he wants. All people. All people. There's no qualifier. There's no age discrimination. There's no, well, she can or he can or she's too young, he's too old. All people. All nations, all languages should serve him. Can we make a conscious endeavor to serve the Lord? Will you join me in prayer about how we can best serve him? That he would be glorified. Let's all stand. Church, can we take a few moments tonight in the invitation to simply pray and ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance on how not only as a church, but as families and as